Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
So your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this time no.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Jackie Wayans. I'm your host of Don't Give Up Radio, and we are back with a new and fresh show ready to encourage and inspire and uplift. For those of you who are listening and the week was challenging and you think, man, I might just want to take it easy and coast for the rest of the year. Well, you can't do that. You've got too many dreams and goals that you are trying to reach. I know for myself it was a bit of a challenging day, but you know, when all is said and done, we can't deny that gift that is inside of us. We can't deny that dream that just seems to be burning to get out. And tonight, our guest knows very well about that experience. We have Grammy-winning Mike Clemons, a.k.a. Big Mike, with us tonight. He has worked with artists such as Israel Houghton, Mary J. Blige, Usher, just to name a few. And he is master drummer and producer, husband and father. And now we can add author to the mix with his new book, Mike Clemons, My Life and Story. Mike, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've had the privilege of connecting with Cosby Media Productions, and it was through them that I found out about your book. I downloaded a copy, and I was just gripped right away. It was the kind of thing that I just didn't want to put down. I think it's a great read for young readers as well as older readers. It kind of just reaches everyone because you're telling this story from a very heartfelt place of just, you know, finding yourself and using your gift and your talent, your skill as a way to tell your story to people. And I think it was very, very well done, and we'll talk more about that during the show. So I'm glad you're able to join us.
I'm glad to be here. You know, it's, like you said, it's been a challenging day for probably a lot of people, but you know, we still got to keep it going. Still can't give it up. You know what I mean?
You definitely can't give it up, and that's the name of the show. So let's dive right in, because time usually vanishes on the show. I don't know how it goes so quick, but we want to make the most of every moment. So let's go back. And you fell in love with music, with beats in particular, you know, the sound of banging and drums and all that at a very, very early age, and you were just drawn to it. Talk to us a little bit about that experience as you were growing up. You know, what was your connection with music and sound?
I think because it just made noises. And I was an active baby, my mom says. So, you know, and she said it was prophesied to her that I was something special when I was in her belly. So when she, you know, saw this stuff, me taking an interest in drumming and beating pots and pans and stuff like that, you know, I'm guessing, you know, that it all came back to her, and she remembered what, you know, what the preacher at the time had said. So, you know, I just love music. You know, I loved it, you know, for as long as I can remember. So.
Mm. It was just something that you knew that was a part of you and you were drawn to it. And it's interesting because as a parent, you know, I have three myself and they're older now. But I do remember that little season of time when they were pulling out the pots and pans and they were just enamored with the sound. And that can wear thin on your patience a little bit after a while. But tell us a bit about your mom and how she kind of received you and your gift.
Well, my mom's a pastor now, but she really supported me, you know, through everything, through the drumming and the producing and things like that. Me and my brother, she really stood by us, and she really, you know, loved the fact that, you know, we love what we do. You know, she's, you know, very nice person, and everybody in the neighborhood knows her and loves her, you know, back in Stratford, Connecticut. So, you know, to this day, you know, they know that's my mom, and you know, and she's just one of those people that once you meet her, you know, you fall in love with her, so.
Great. That's a beautiful thing, and it's also a great thing when your parent actually understands what your gift and talent is and doesn't try to discourage or dissuade you, but actually gets it. And in the book, you describe a moment, you talk about this moment where you have these sticks, you're on the drum, and you weren't even supposed to be in that space at the time, and something just brilliant happened, and your mom just happened to catch it. Can you relay that a little bit for us?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, something just came over me, you know, and I started playing, and then it's just I started doing things I never thought I could do, and I realized that I was, you know, the gift from God, you know, that the gift that God had given me, you know, and from that moment on, it never was the same. I just went from Mike that plays drums to Mike the drummer, and, you know, it's my life changed, and I can remember that to this day, and it was a life-changing, you know, moment for me and my mom, and from there, she, you know, she always supported me, but she really, you know, supported me and saw the love in my eyes and really understood how I felt about music. And, you know, because hard to, you know, as parents, sometimes it's hard to understand, you know, the things that your child loves. You know, like to this day, my mom still tells me, stop being at the table. But I tell my son the same thing. What I don't tell my son, my wife, she, every time we sit at the table to eat or something like that, I'm always banging, and my son, he's not a drummer per se, but it's in him, so he just bangs. It's naturally in him, and my wife said the same thing: stop banging. So, you know, it's just something that is just in us, and it was just like a life changing for, you know, forever. You know, it changed my life. So,
and it's great when you can have that moment and you can know this is it. You know, this is the thing that I breathe for, that I live for, that I want to do. And it's important to acknowledge that. You were fortunate enough to have someone who supported you, but some people do not. But it doesn't change the fact that you need to know for yourself that it's for you. Now, I don't think we need to sugarcoat your life. It wasn't perfect by any means. There were challenges that you faced, and one of them was one that many men in this country faced, and that's the issue of fatherlessness. Now, you did grow up with your dad in the home initially. Talk to us about the beginning years and when things changed. Why did they change?
My father was with us until I was about 12 or 13, and my father was on drugs and stuff like that and drinking and, you know, to the point where it caused a divorce and, you know, with him and my mom. So, you know, that was different. We were still young, things we didn't understand, but I remember seeing arguments and little stuff like that, and it just kind of, you know, it messed me for a little bit. You know, if I had music still to grab, and I think without music, I don't know what, you know, where I would be or what I would have done at the, you know, growing up, because, you know, when you're going through those changes in the house and you don't have anything to kind of take your mind off of it, you know, you start doing, you know, dumb things and getting into, you know, gangs and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I never went that route per se, but you know, I think for me, it was just, you know, it caused me to be bitter a little bit, you know, growing up, you know, at certain times because of what happened, and things were forced on us to now become more men quicker than we wanted to be. So, you know, but we got through it, and, you know, and we're good today. So That's a good thing.
That's definitely a good thing. I'm wondering, because I know God did this for me, and he's no respecter of person. So during that period of time when you were going through the anger and, you know, feeling that it was unfair, did you find that God sent people in your life at key moments to kind of, you know, keep you on track and to keep you from going in a direction that could have been more detrimental for you?
Yeah, I had, you know, father figures and people who, you know, different managers we had and different people that we went on a road with and stuff that kind of helped me through situations and I looked up to, you know. So, yeah, I can't say that God did put people in our life to fill some of the void that we needed at the time. So,
yeah, and you even, one of the things that struck me was a principal who had every right to suspend you, right? But in that moment of time, she actually realized everything that you were going through. And
right.
She chose a different method. She chose to say, you know, get involved with music even more, throw yourself at
yeah.
it even more. And that was a wonderful opportunity for you. Now, you also had another challenge, and
mm-hmm.
that was being overweight. And we know that kids can be unkind when it comes
right.
to people who look different in various ways. So how was the challenge for you? Was this a weight issue in your family? Was it just you? You know, what? Describe it.
Well, the weight issue for me was more of just being called names at times and stuff like that. You know, I was popular because I was a musician. And I was in a church, so musicians in the church, you know, become popular. But outside of that, being in school and wanting to be around certain people or, you know, liking different girls didn't always work in my favor. so that's where the challenges came in at. And that, you know, but being popular, you know, in music, you know, they, you know, it's almost like you can look any old way and that, you know, it doesn't matter, but when you get outside of your comfort zone and get into a world where, you know, everybody doesn't know what you do or you're not as popular, you know, it's different.
Right. You're on a different turf now. And
exactly.
Being able to relate to you changes a little bit. In fact, I was reading a book this week. I started reading a book, and it's about us finding our true names, not necessarily our birth names, but our true names. And he spent a little time talking about the fact that we're also given names by other people through the course of our lives. And some of those names usually aren't very positive, like, you know, fat boy or, you know, nerdy girl, or, you know, we can go on and on. And it's very important for us not to embrace those names and take them on for ourselves, but to, you know, find the name that really is true to us and really matters. And I remember an incident in elementary school. There was one young lady, we're friends to this day, but she was known as the dancer. She was the tap dancer. She always performed. Everyone knew she would always give a great performance. And one year I said, you know what, I'm going to dance, because I always dance in the house. I never did it publicly. And I did the dance, and at the end, you can imagine this, the whole auditorium, there was silence. It was like no claps. Nothing. I was like, the teachers were baffled. I was baffled. We're like, what happened here? And two things happened. It was, one is, I don't know if you guys ever did this, but there was this like pass it on thing. So you would whisper in one kid's ear, like, pass it on, don't clap. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
They did that kind of pass it on, don't clap. But that at the end, you know, they were coming up to me and they're like, we wanted to clap, but we were confused because we didn't expect you to actually be good at it, you know. I mean, we were so shocked. So, you know, we had these moments. You had a key moment where you were given the opportunity to play the drums at your church for the first time. And I want you to kind of describe what that moment was for you from beginning to end.
I was nervous, I was nervous but excited at the same time. And I think for me it was more or less of what if I mess up, or, you know, or things like, you know, all these things go through your mind. It's like you want to play so bad, so bad, so bad, but then when you get the chance to, it's like, okay, do I blow this? I don't want to blow this. So you're trying to be perfect, but you know, it was good. You know, thinking back at it now, you know, of course, there's things you would have done differently, but I think for me, it was the opportunity of having my chance was more excited than anything.
Yeah, and you know, what stuck out for me as you described the moment was, one, you had more encouragement from mom there, and that helped you to kind of visualize it. But, and so once you had that, even though you might have seen a few kids snickering in the front row, it didn't stop the moment from happening. And it's something when you can actually know that in this moment you're making your family so proud. So we're going to play a track. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about your journey.
Okay.
I remember everyone that was there. I got up to sing my song, and the first note came out wrong, but you still shouted, 'cause you were so proud. I remember sharing my hopes and my plans, and there were some people who didn't understand. But you put your faith in my dream, betting all you had on me. You never doubted, 'cause you were so proud. We never had all the finest things, but what we had was enough. There were so many reasons to keep believing that we should be so proud. Now I remember hearing you leave before dawn, then coming home when the street lights came on, staying up late at night trying to pay the bills. It was tight, but you kept on, 'cause you were so proud. Ooh, I remember watching you read your Bible, and then crying sometimes when you pray. And now that I am a man, I finally understand how to bow down and still stay proud.
About single mothers raising kids alone, living by faith, and their kids watching that and seeing that, it motivates them to want to be their best for that parent and make them proud. And we're here on Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. We're talking with Mike Clemens, who is drummer extraordinaire, and we're just talking about his path and his journey from being a little boy who loved music and loved beats to actually making a career out of his passion. It really just goes on to talk about how each of us are given a gift and a talent, and we need to be able to own it and to pursue it. Mike, I want to ask you a little question about your mom there. As that song was playing, I kind of reflected on her a bit more, and I want you to kind of elaborate. You mentioned that she's a woman of faith. And I want to know, you know, how did she introduce that to you guys as you were growing up? And when did a relationship with the Lord become real for you?
Well, yeah, we grew up in church. As long as I've known my mother, she's been in church and saved. So, you know, she taught us that. She was a Bible school teacher, you know, so we had to go to church early with her and stuff. I mean, you know, church is different now than what it was back then, but we eat, sleep, and everything else church back then. And but we also, I think as kids, loved it differently than how we love, you know, how the kids love it now, because It was so different. It wasn't this new church where, and times change, we understand that. But it wasn't this new church where, you know, you're talking about more prosperity and more other things versus, you know, sanctification and just about, you know, the rawness of what God can do and things like that. And I think back then, being with my mom and her, me seeing her preach and me, you know, going to Sunday school with her, me and my brother and sister and stuff like that, I think it was just in us, you know. It was in us. It was in, church, you know, 3-4 times a week, you know.
Wow.
You know, Friday night service, you got Wednesday prayer, you got choir rehearsal, you got morning service and then night service. You know, they don't do that. They don't do the two services no more. Now it's, you know, 2 or 3 morning services, but they don't do the evening service like they used to do, you know, back in the days.
And so when did your relationship develop with the Lord? When did you kind of get serious for yourself?
I started getting serious with myself as I became a teenager and realized, you know, and then of course you're off and on because you're dealing with different prayer pressures and stuff like that. But I think for me, when it got really serious is when I really started, I became a husband and a father and stuff like that. I think I had to think differently. You know, my thinking just totally changed. It allowed me to grow up and allowed me to take, you know, don't take God for granted and stuff like that. So I would say when I got married and had kids and stuff, I think it really, really got serious for me to really lead by example.
Well, let's shift into that a little bit and talk about that, because, you know, in the book you have this crush with this lovely young lady, and it's never meant to be, and it almost seems like, gosh, will Mike ever find that special girl who's going to love him for himself? But you were fortunate enough to find a wonderful young lady. We know her as Coco. Gospel singer. She's also Mrs. Coco Clemens, and you guys are happily married. You have a lovely family, but the weight issue persisted to be an issue in your life, and there came to be a moment where your family sat you down and talked to you. Tell us, share that with us.
Yes, my wonderful family. what I love about my wife, let me just talk about that for a second, is one, you know, she loved me at 370 pounds, you know, so for her, it was true love. And you know, me losing weight had nothing to do with her making me or wanting me to because of anything of unattractive. It was more or less of a health issue, And and when I became diabetic and had an overactive thyroid and didn't take it seriously and almost died and stuff like that, I don't want to tell too much of the book, but you know, it was that moment when, you know, her and, you know, when she told me, she went to the doctors with me, and she, you know, was there to witness, like, okay, you got to take this seriously or you're going to die, you know. And then my son sitting me, you know, down at home and telling me, he's 8 years old at the time, you know, you're going to die if you don't, you know, if you don't do what you're supposed to do. So those were really eye-openers and for me to really do what I need to do to be here for them, you know, live. You know, I'm living for me, which is great, but I need to live for them as well.
Right. And I want you to tell it, like, in his voice. I love when you were talking to me. You actually said it the way he said it to you in that moment. I thought, he was eight and he was talking to you like that?
He was the father. He said, so what happened? What the doctor say? I said, what do you mean? He said, you want to die? I said, huh? He said, you want your legs to be cut off? I said, no. He said, well, you need to do what you're supposed to do then. I'm looking at him like, 8 years old, I need you to be quiet. But he was so, he was so right, though. He's a straightforward, you know, kid. So that's, how, you know, that's just him. He's always been like that. But I had to take that and take it to heart and say, wow, you know, he didn't ask to be here. We brought him in this world, and I need to do this for him as well, you know. And I did, and I went. I never turned back. I made another career out of it.
Right, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, but tell me, what are some of the actions that you took at that moment, being 300-plus, to begin to transform your life, transform your health? What strategies did you start to put in place?
I really started working out with a boxer, a local boxer friend of mine, and he, his name was Norman, and he showed me the gym side of what to do. I went cold turkey eating. Like, I literally, my mind frame was, if you eat that, you're going to die. So anything bad for a whole year, anything bad, I would not eat. My mom would tell you, I would not eat. I wouldn't have no cheat days, no nothing. I wouldn't even eat a Starburst, like nothing. It was really, really just, if I eat that, I'm going to die. And I trained my mind that way. So I ate only good food and no fried foods, no salt, no sugar, no sweet teas. And I was a person who liked everything sweet. And I just went cold turkey and trained my mind and my body to not, you know, to not want it, to the point where if I was to taste any type of sugar, I would know right then and there because I wasn't used to eating it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Braxton Cosby's been on the show. I know he's coming out with a health book later on, and we're going to talk about what you want to do also in terms of bringing some products out there. But people don't realize that sugar, even more than fat in some ways, right, that sugar is the worst thing you can consume. One, it destroys your immune system. And two, it gets stored, if not burned off and not used, it actually gets stored as fat. And so you don't really realize what a Starburst can do. So it's a little tiny thing, but when you realize what that could do in terms of spiking your insulin and all that stuff, it's actually huge. It's a big deal.
Well,
it's so
huge. And on top of that, I mean, just think about it. You get a juice that's, you know, 8 ounces, whatever. And, you know, but the sugar content is 16 grams. Well, that's 16 small sugar cubes that's in that small bottle. That's a lot. You know, and people don't understand you know, they don't read labels. So they don't understand that, you know, when you're looking at that, they say, it's just 8 grams of sugar. But, yeah, but 8 grams of sugar is 8 sugar cubes, which is a lot for that little bottle. Again, you know, and the way, like you said, it gets stored. And a lot of people, let's face it, we're not going to work off sugar like we should. You're not going to eat, like, I can have a slice of cake and go to the gym and burn 800 calories. But I know how to do that. The average person will not do that. They're going to eat that cake. They're going to eat the juice. They're going to do everything in the world and eat about 1,500 calories and then go to sleep.
And that's not what you want to do. There's
no,
so many
no,
things that are wrong with
do.
That.
Right.
So you,
yeah.
you made the changes that were necessary. And if anyone sees you today, I mean, you know what? Talk to us. When you first got the name Big Mike, just share a little bit of who said that to you and what was their intention. But you've completely transformed that and given it a new meaning and purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was called Big Mike for so long from school and just, you know, Big Mike, it was just because I was big. I was always big. And I'm still called Big Mike, you know, and I still call myself Big Mike or people know me as that. But it's and they look at, they tell me all the time, you should change your name. But it's like, I'm so known for that name, it's hard for me just to say, okay, Mike, or people be like, oh, Mike, you know, it's still Big Mike, even though I'm getting muscles in the gym and stuff like that, it's just different. Or they may say Strong Mike or something like that, you know, it'd be funny. But that name has been with me for so long that it's hard to get rid of, literally.
Right, right. Well, you know, it again, when we talk about name, you gave that name a different meaning. You completely flipped it, right? So it's no
yeah.
longer to fat or to weakness.
Right.
But we're talking about muscle and strength now, and so you completely shifted it. And so
yeah.
now I'm thinking about people who are listening and they have some type of challenge that they're facing, whether it's trying to attain a dream or to conquer something in their physical body. I would like you to speak to someone who's being, you know, emotionally, physically, socially, that's limiting them, but yet they have a dream that they're aspiring to. What would you say to them?
I would say simple, you know, never give up. Believe in yourself more than anybody. You know, you're going to have challenges in life. You know, things are going to hit you, but you just can't, you know, you can't give up. It's a simple word, but it means a lot, you know, not giving up to me, you know, because I just can't give up. There's still goals that I want to reach. And I would say if you're trying to reach those goals, you know, whatever it takes for you to get there, just do it. Don't let nobody steer you wrong. Don't let nobody tell you you can't do it. Don't let nobody call you what you're not, you know. And you know, God, you know, wants us all to be prosperous. And I feel like, you know, when you limit yourself, when you doubt yourself, you know, don't doubt God. You know, let him lead you, let him and follow his lead, and you know, you'll be all right.
Absolutely the truth. And sometimes you might feel challenged in that, but it doesn't change the fact that it absolutely remains to be the truth. And you made a wonderful comment when we were talking about the great talent that's on YouTube, for instance, and that even though, you know, there are, what, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of very talented people, doesn't mean they're all destined to be, you know, Grammy winners, you know?
Yeah.
What's your thought about that?
They're not, you know. Reality is I get emails every day, you know, I'm ready, or I want to go on the road, I want to do this and that. And that's great. You can want to do it, but what does God want for you, first of all? Second of all, everybody, it's not meant for everybody to become the big star, or everybody's not going to win a Grammy. Everybody's not going to sell or have a top 10 record. It's just it's not going to happen, and you have to realize, or I should say, you have to ask yourself, you know, what is it am I supposed to be doing, you know, and am I, is this a dream or just what God wants? You know, and those are kind of things that, you know, between you and God, you know, would know. Because, you know, everybody, it's not meant for everybody to be number one. That's why it's number one, two, three, four, all the way. And then that's why numbers don't stop. because it's not, everybody's not going to be number one. Everybody's not going to make it. You know, it's just the way it is. And I tell people, when they do ask me those questions, like, you know, I'm ready. I'm, you know, well, you know, you can put me on. It's not. It's like you can be ready, but then when you start doing it, you realize it's a lot of work, you know, and you have to be, you know, built for this. You can't just, you know, try to, you know, wing it on the way. You need to be really built for this and be mentored by someone. So
that's another key element in terms of having to, you know, work. You said to me, you have to work to get there, and you have to work to stay there. And, you know, when I think of drummers, you know, Sheila E., of course, being female, was one of the first to grab my attention. Mm-hmm. And I remember her talking about, you know, people don't realize, they look at, you know, what she does and all the applause and everything, but when the show is over, you know, she's the one who has the blisters on her hands and the calluses, and that sometimes mm-hmm. she would get these little blood boils. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that doesn't sound good at all. You know?
It doesn't. I get it. I get the same thing. Especially my wife will tell you. She look at my hands sometimes like, ooh, you know. But it's from, you know, and that comes from the heat, especially in the summertime. The heat and the sweat. Rubbing against the sticks, you know, gives you calluses and things like that. Sometimes they get blood in them. They got to harden up. It's not the nicest. You know, drummers don't have the nicest hands.
Well, neither do guitarists or pianists.
Right,
you know, you have to pay the price for the thing that you're desiring. It's not just mm-hmm. going to come to you. And I love the fact that you say you have to pay the price to get there and pay the price to stay there. If that is your path and that's what God has called you to, then you're going to win. There's a winner in you. And we're going to play that track by Coco. It's one of my favorites that I play every now and then when I need to be reminded that there is indeed a winner in me.
Charged
That is what Mike Clemens wants you guys to understand. You're listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we want you to understand that there is a winner in you, and his name is Jesus. And just to be clear, if you're listening tonight and you don't yet have that relationship with Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he has been raised again, you will definitely be saved and brought into the family of God, given his spirit and the ability to communicate with him and to hear what your path should be, to understand your gift and your talent. And that's where the relationship begins. And, you know, Mike, I know that you feel very strongly that, you know, producing and being a musician, it's just part of your platform, that it's not your ultimate destination. Can you explain more about that?
Yes. I believe, you know, God has more for me and put me on this earth to do more, not just to be a drummer, like you said, to produce records, but there's more that he wants me to do. And I'm always finding opportunities and seeking, you know, God, you know, on the next thing that he wants me to do. You know, I'm never satisfied. And I think that's what, you know, that what helps keep me going. You know, you can easily be satisfied in one thing. You know, in the time, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, I was only thinking about drums. But then as time passed, it was like, you know, no, it's you know, it's more to it than music. And, you know, I end up on different, you know, stages of life and going through different things for a reason. I think, you know, the things that we go through in life, it's definitely on purpose. And I think God allows us to go through those things so to prepare us for the next thing that, you know, that we're about to do.
And one of the things people often don't realize is the amount of traveling that you have to do. And when you're a family man, that's very difficult. It's hard. I think the road, like 44 out of 55 weeks of the year, something like that.
Yeah. I've slowed down a lot. I was gone half, you know, more than half the year, you know. And I think for me, I made a decision to stay home more for more than one reason. One reason was my youngest son was going into middle school, and I wanted to be home at these years, you know, where he's you know, needing me more.
Mm-hmm.
And to guide him and to be, you know, he's 12 years old and he's, you know, becoming a young man and you know, a teenager and stuff like that. And, you know, and me and him are close. We've gotten closer by me being home and helping him. I help him with his homework, you know, stuff like that. And I think, you know, these moments now are really precious. So I'm glad I'm home for that, as well as, you know, building other businesses and stuff like that. And I just think, you know, I can't travel forever, and you got to have something to fall back on. I encourage any musician to always, you know, think beyond what you're doing now. If you're on your gig or whatever you're doing now is great, but what's the next thing for you? And I think you should always think about what's the next thing. What does God want me to do next? And I think, you know, if you think that at a younger age, you will get further in life faster as well.
Mm. So ownership, getting into businesses, you know, using the money that you're earning wisely so that it's going to continue to work for you the years go on. You know, you make a real great point regarding your son and you know, we have the whole idea of mama's boys and things like that, but the reality is that when young men hit that, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, they really need that male figure there, that father figure, mm-hmm. to help guide them and transition them through. And just thinking back to our earlier conversation about you not having dad there, your brother not having dad there, your sister, where are you now today in terms of dad? Were you able to have any closure, any peace? How have you dealt with that?
Definitely. We're closer today. I went through a period of being bitter, like I said earlier, But I had to. But my biggest thing was, if my father passed away, I never wanted him to pass away and us not, you know, talk, or us, you know, not get it right. And I got a chance to get it right with him, and you know, and I talk to him more than I see him, but we're talking, you know, and we're cool. You know, I love you, son. I love you, dad. And I think that's just important, you know. And you know, there's people who do things worse to you every day, and you know, for you not to talk to your family, to me sometimes can be a little. I'm learning now that it's definitely something that we need to cherish, and I think, you know, especially a father and son, you know, mother and son, mother and daughter, father and daughter. I just think those things are important now because I have my own kids.
Now, is he clean now? Did he get his self together in terms of that?
He did. You know, he's good now, and I'm happy for him. And, you know, he's still dad, you know, but he's definitely a changed man, and I'm grateful for that.
You know, that's an important thing to say. I think sometimes as young people, especially when we hit our teen mindset, we can get locked in there, locked into the person we wish our parents were. And So now even when we're adults, and with our own children, we're still wishing our parents were a certain thing, and we really do need to come to a place and space where we say, you know what, this is who they are, and I'm called to honor and to love them as this person, and that's the ideal that I have in my head.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. So now tell me, what do you have coming down the pike? You know, what are some of the interesting things that you'd like to do?
I want to travel more. I want to speak more. I want to encourage people more. You know, I do drum clinics as well, and I want to do more drum clinics now. And but I want to do a twist. I want to do drum clinics, you know, with it, and touch on the health and things like that as well, and touch on you know motivational speaking, you know, during that, and encouraging, you know, the young musicians to have something to fall back on. You know, if I'd known what I know now, you know, if it 20 years ago, of course, you know, like we all say, it'd be, you know, it'd be different. But you know, I went through what I went through in life, and I'm here, and I'm grateful. And if I have the opportunity to talk to the up and coming musicians and tell them, listen, do this, save your money, invest this, and do the things that, some of the things that I didn't do, I think I'm saving some of their lives. Yeah, you know, because we know we. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I said we need that. That's what these young musicians. It's cool to be able to have the gift to play and to be able to go to the mall and buy this and that. But it's not cool when you're home and you have nothing to show for besides sneakers.
Yeah. that's actually rather painful when you have nothing to show for it. Yeah. You know, you bring up two very interesting things. We actually didn't talk about the drum clinic earlier, but I actually am looking to be involved with a project happening in Grenada towards the end of this year. And the idea is that to kind of bring an overall entertainment gospel industry clinic to the island and have the young adults there start to build their own entrepreneurial skills in terms of, you know, being able to build industry, whether it's your own radio show or your own productions, and how to do that well. So I'd love it if you'd be able to do a drum clinic for that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be really cool. We must talk about that.
Yeah, we'll chat about that a little bit more. And one of the other things I want to bring out in terms of what you're saying, you're not talking about a fallback, like, just in case you don't make it as a musician. You're more so saying, you know, do that, be successful at it, but as you're earning, use that money wisely and invest to your future, which is a message that definitely needs to be out there. What in terms of health and nutrition, what would you like to do?
Put out a cookbook, put out a fitness book. Those are a few things that I would love to do, and I'm actually, you know, starting to work on. You know, I train people right now as well, so, you know, and you know, doing pretty good at it. So I want to, you know, be able to incorporate that stuff into, you know, what I'm doing, and I want to put out, you know, a fitness, you know, it's a fitness book and stuff like that. So I think I'm really passionate about fitness. I mean, you know, pretty is I love music, but I'm pretty up there. It's almost neck to neck with fitness, because I love the fact of what I've done with myself, but on top of that, the way I inspire others, I love that. I love the emails I get literally every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on you inspired me with drones, but now you inspired me with fitness. I love that because you know lives are you know, we're dying every day for this disease, that disease, and not taking this seriously and that seriously. And I get a lot of diabetic people who contact me and ask me for advice and you know, how did I get through it, you know? And so I like that. I think you know, what I went through was for a reason, and me, you know, knowing now that, you know, it's to help other people, I'm cool with that.
Very good. It's good to be good in your own skin and to really like the place that you are in life. And you also, of course, have more music coming down the pike.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
J.J. Harrison, you're doing a project with him and probably oodles of more stuff. Tell the people where they can connect with you. How can they follow up with you?
You can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is Big Mike Clemons, Clemons. My website is www.bigmikeclemons.com. My Twitter is Big Mike Clemons, and my Facebook is Big Mike Clemons. Like, I'm Big Mike. Just Google Big
Mike
Clemons.
Big Mike. No, can't forget that. It's consistent all the way around, Big Mike Clemons.
Yes,
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I've got to say, you represent yourself very well as a child of the King, and you know, wherever people go, they are going to see that love of God in you, and they're going to see that overcomer spirit in you. And so just continue to do what you're doing.
I am. Can I give a shout out? Is that possible?
Okay. Yes, definitely.
I want to give a shout out to my lovely wife and my two boys. I love y'all so much. I want to give also a shout out to my, you know, one of my businesses is, I have a salon. Me and my wife own a salon here in Virginia Beach called Clemons Cuts and Styles.
Huh.
And I want to give a shout out to everybody over there, as well as my wife and her best friend owns a shoe store called C&T Shoe Bar. You can find them online as well at cntshoebar.com. And we're everywhere, and we're trying to just do everything.
Right. Well, that wasn't a shout out, it was a plug, but that's okay.
That was a plug.
It was
both.
Will Coco be doing any projects soon? Can we expect any new music from her?
Yes, she was. She's working on, you know, she's still with SWV as well. So they're doing a lot of touring and stuff like that as well. But she has some things that she, you know, she's about to let. You know, I gotta let her tell. You gotta interview her next, so she can tell.
Hey, I was just
gonna
say, the door is open. The door is wide open. I'd love to speak with her and really talk to her about, because it's very interesting to be a part of a secular kind of girl group and then be doing your own thing privately in the gospel world and how, you know, perceptions, all that. But I won't talk to you about that. I want to talk to her about that. But thank you so much for sharing. Continue to be a child of the King. For those of you who are listening, I want you to continue to be your very own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on the cross. Hold on to that and live victoriously. Until next time.